Welcome to the Real Talk Podcast, where the goal is to better our understanding through conversation. Communicating our feelings, our thoughts, or our opinions could be some of the easiest or it could be some of the hardest things to do. But by communicating, we begin to form new perspectives. So throughout the various topics and opinions we discuss on our podcast, we hope that we can add value, understanding, and maybe a few laughs to your day. We appreciate you guys listening and enjoy the show.
So let's start with you asked about my week. Well, we both were talking about the week a little bit and saying, you know, it was a heavy one. For me in particular, it wasn't, man. Like I expected Monday to be kind of, I thought that was going to be a challenge for me, man, because we was fresh off that trip coming back from Miami. You know, we took the cruise and that was different. That was my very first cruise, man. Everybody have their thoughts about cruises.
What was your experience like?
Yeah. Not to be no cruise hater or anything like that. It was cool. After 3 days, man, I was ready. Ready to go.
How big was the ship? Like, what was the size of it?
Man, the ship was huge, man. It was it was huge, bro. Like, you never really understand the true size of these ships until you get up on it.
Yeah.
And it's different getting up on a ship rather than being on a ship. Then when you get on the ship, you're like, holy, this is bigger than what I thought, you know? It's like we got on a ship in, like, the first day that we were on a ship. Excuse me, you had like the first thing that I could recall, the first thing of importance was they stated that, you know, it was by your own discretion, whether you chose to do it or not. But they had something in like, I don't know what the,
Hold on real quick.
I got you.
My bad. Hey,
you already, do you see a difference between her and Lil Mama, the first? Already? Do you see anything?
Look wise, yeah. But my bad. Look wise, yeah, of course. But as far as like temperament, not really, not yet.
Really?
Nah,
you don't,
man.
You don't see nothing different yet?
I'm trying to think, man. Like she sleep more.
She sleeps more?
It feels like she sleeps more. Mm-hmm. And She wakes up.
You be asleep, so
yeah.
Be out.
The only thing I notice is like just the waking up, the sleeping and stuff like that, and getting on a schedule. Mm-hmm. I noticed that Blair, she knows she a big sister now, so like she'll notice her. She'll come over there and play with her and stuff like that. Try to hold her, so that's pretty dope. But she, what is it? 3 weeks, I think now.
Okay, that's what's up, man. You know, what about like when it's time to eat, man? Appetite wise, both of them.
Oh yeah, she can eat, man. She can eat. She way bigger than Blair was, and she definitely.
She looking up right now. She look like she in heaven. She about to go back to sleep. She hungry.
Yeah, she was, man. So I'm trying to get used to that, and like for me, man, just speaking freely, it's like I don't know, man. I know for sure. I feel like I ain't at home much with this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's all like, it's all on Blair. I mean, it's all on my wife.
And Blair.
Right. And then potty train Blair.
She's like, look, I ain't meant to cause no problem.
Right. I just was trying to get a little bite to eat.
Get my little stomach good. Hey, y'all can have back at it.
What about you, man? Like, what was your experience? Like, were you like a infant dad, or like, were you grew up around your cousins and things like that, or like, how did it work with you?
You say like growing up around them?
No, I'm saying like when you had your baby girl, like
from baby girl to Trey.
Yeah.
Like you asking me about the differences?
Just having an infant. Like, how did you adjust to that?
I don't know, man. Like, we can say adjusting. How did I adjust? We can talk about that. But the adjustments came, they started long before the child was even here. You start seeing, you know, you see your lady's stomach, man, you see that thing, you know, starting to really protrude outward. It's like all of a sudden now your sleep pattern changed. You're like, man, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no being wild while you sleep. It's like you always in that, let me be careful. You know what I mean? I don't want to do too much. It's like for her, I had a dream when she was pregnant with my son, about her actually falling. I had a dream about that. So I told her about the dream, and I was like, man, be careful. You know what I'm saying? This, and it caused me to become real, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. In a sense, I probably was a little overbearing at times. But like she hadn't, like that was her first time, you know what I'm saying, going through that when it wasn't. That was technically her third time, but, well, fourth. But I don't know. It was different, man. But the crazy part, she did wind up falling. She didn't tell me about it
until later. Man.
Yeah. Right in front of Home Depot.
Dang. Yeah. Oh, it was outside too.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
Yeah. And then it's like people, like when you listen to people, like how they try to, you know, how they try to turn it around and make it seem like it wasn't that bad. But I fell on my knees though.
Yeah, right.
But you still fail. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Sydney,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Her name is Sydney?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Sydney Blair. Ooh.
No, Blair is
putting both of their names together. That's dope. Sydney Blair. That's the name there, that sounds, that's different. Sydney Blair. Blair Sydney.
So, man, do you feel like you was born to be a father or you became a father?
Man, I feel like I became one, man, because it never was like something that I was thinking about. I never said I wanted kids, never wanted to get married, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of became one. But one thing I know for sure is like it turned me into a different person. Like it made me so much more better.
Yeah.
If I was already an analytical person, like it showed me how unanalytical I was, or how undetailed I was. And it just made me know what areas I needed to focus on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like a tune up.
Yeah.
You feel me? That's what it was like, man. And I think that like we talked about this before, man, like how like marriage sometimes gets a bad rap, or like having kids sometimes get a bad rap because everybody got something negative to say. But I think it's through their own moments that it just make you better, man. Because most of the time it's mental. You hear that all the time. It's mental. And it really is, man. It's just all about how you look at the situation. Okay, cool. What do I need to do for this situation what do I need to do for this situation to get done? You know what I'm saying? For me to handle business right now. And once you frame the question like that, it doesn't have to be perfect. But the attempts that you make, you know what I'm saying? It may be imperfect, but you get it done. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
No, it definitely does, man. Because one thing about, first of all, life, period, even when you take and you apply parenthood into life, I mean, it doesn't come with directions. It doesn't come with an instructions manual, you know? People always got advice that they will give you. And in some cases, you know, it's definitely helpful. In other cases, man, no two children are alike anyway. So their child, when they were that age, may function totally different than with your child at the same age. It's just like, you know, you got to be able to adapt. And you can't try to force the situation either. That's like forcing a bottle in the child's mouth that a child is telling you, no, I don't want it. I'm not hungry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you still trying to force and they steady turning their head, you know. It's like... It's like that a lot of times. And, you know, when you take that and, you know, you amplify that and you take in, you really widen the scope, so to speak, and you apply it to your everyday life. The same thing, man, it's like the signs, you got to pay attention to the signs. Whether you feel you were called to do something or you just put in a situation in which it's just your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's your time, it's showtime.
Right.
You know? And it's like you ain't got time to be doubting yourself because you were put in this situation for a reason. You know, God don't make no mistakes. So you being present at this point in time, at the exact point in time in which you need to be, you know, whether that be for a raise, whether that be, you know, because the child was just born, whether that be, you know, you definitely think this is the one. So you ask her for a hand in marriage, you know. It ain't no mistake, man. The mistakes we make a lot of times is overthinking things like, really and truly, am I enough? Why question if you enough when you already at that, you know, you at that moment.
Right. You know what I mean? You at the starting line already.
Yeah, it's like, man.
Gun about to go off.
Yeah. Bro,
what you mean?
It's like, am I ready? You know what I'm saying?
That's true, bro. We do that a lot, man.
Yeah. It's like, that's, you know, it's interesting, man, because... You know, it's it's the Olympic season now, man.
Right.
And man, I love watching the Olympics, man.
You been watching them?
Man, look, before I got here, I was watching the Olympics. And it's like, man, my favorite things to watch on the Olympics, man. And I'm a huge basketball fan, but it's crazy because I notice, I guess, you know, when you're younger, you don't even think, right? You just go off of the dome at which you just let certain things that have always been, you know, that have always had a natural impact over your life. You let those pretty much dictate what you think that you like the most. So it's like, for me, I've always been a basketball fan, always. But I notice when the Olympics come around, it's the variety is crazy. It's right. Like on a cruise ship with all of this food. It's like the diversity is crazy. So it's like, yeah, I could watch basketball. I always watch basketball. Then sometimes basketball might not be on, so you just stay tuned. You know, one thing we as people don't like is a lot of time we don't like the commercials. And let me rephrase that. Sometimes we don't like the commercials, and only if it's the Super Bowl do I see people, you know, clamoring about commercials. But other than that, man, we don't like commercials like that.
Yeah, for
real.
We
want to get back to that action. You know, if we're watching our favorite show, we want to see that show. You know what I mean? But during the Olympics, man, it's almost like they always jumping. They jumping. You watching one thing, then next thing you know, you might be watching this thing. You're like, yo, hold on. Wait, what happened to the thing I was? Wait a minute. That's kind of dope.
Right.
What is that? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's how you get exposed to so many other things that do exist that you don't even know exist in this world. That's called a sport.
Yeah.
You know, and then you start seeing people competing. So today I was watching something, man, and it's one of the favorite things that I like to watch, actually. And it's the gymnast. I love watching the gymnast, bro. Like anybody that has an appreciation for art / appreciation for athleticism / appreciation for detail / appreciation to being able to be tutored in something, you appreciate gymnasts. Mm-hmm. You do. Number one, to be able to take and twirl, spin, flip, whatever in the air. That ain't my calling.
Right.
But man, I can sit there and wish, and I can sit there and visualize, you know, hey, maybe when I was younger, I probably would have looked good doing that.
Right, right.
I ain't never did that. And I'm appreciative that it's not me, it's you that's doing it, you know? I'm good with that. But today when I was watching it, I watched it from a different lens. And I guess it's probably one of those, it's one of those things which, the good thing about the Olympics only come around, what, every 4 years, right?
Every 4 years, yeah.
So it's like, man, you think about that. Every time an Olympic come around, and we're talking about a total of 8 years, look at how much you age, how much you change in that span. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you watching something, you start to watch things and think differently about things. And then that makes you have more of an appreciation, you know, for what it is that you actually seeing. So with these gymnasts, man, what I was watching before I left, these young ladies, it was the team. I want to say it was the team from France. So you watching them. And I just happened to click over, and I'm watching it with my grandmother, right? And it's crazy how this became a bonding type, you know, ordeal. Well, so I had turned on the TV and flipped the channel, and then the gymnast was on. So next thing I know, we watching it and we discussing it. And so she started asking me questions. She like, she said, well, that young lady there, she looked like she about to cry. I said, well, grandma, I said, she is about to cry. She was like, well, why? I said, you don't understand. I said, that's immense pressure that they going through. You got to think about it like this. They train their whole lives to be at this exact moment in time. And right now they got the weight, you know, people be talking about what's all on their shoulder. They got the weight of their country on their back.
Right.
They wearing their country colors, representing, you know, their country. I said, man, for these folk, man, you know, you only get three places, bronze, you know, silver or gold.
Mm-hmm.
And really and truly it's two if you really ask many, because you ain't trying to come on with no bronze.
Right.
And she was like, well, you know, if you get bronze, you got something. She said, I know somebody about it off them. I said, I said, now that's true. That's true. I said, but you know, you got to think about it. If you spent this much time and you've been day in, day night, you know, day in and day out, just practicing these same routines every day. I said, now it's easy when you don't have them cameras around you. You know, right. It's easy when you don't have, you know, millions of people watching you, you know, believing in you. That's constantly coming up telling you, hey, we need you to bring that home. Mm-hmm. We want you to bring that home. You got to bring that home.
You're getting endorsed
listen
by people.
Listen to how that just changed. We need you to bring that home. You got to bring that home. We believe you're going to bring it home. Now bring it home. Now here it is, man. You sitting up there in that pressure with every, and that's all it takes is one little mess up. Or miscue.
Yeah.
You know, and then next thing, you start second guessing yourself. But with the moment you start second guessing yourself, routine, technique, all that stuff go out the window. All of it. So it's like, before you, you know, before you can even give it your best, now all of a sudden, your mind ain't even in the game no more.
Mm-hmm.
You sit around there, you trying to hold back tears now, not even thinking, hey, I got another opportunity. I just need to try to make do with this next opportunity and make the best of this. Now, all of a sudden, you thinking about what caused the first mistake. I can't do this time. So now everything, you know, it's madness that starts to live in your head. So we watching it, man, and I'm looking at this. And as I'm talking to my grandmother, she asking me questions. I say to myself, I say, you know what, boy? I say, this is pressure filled. But really and truly in life, will we really want it any other way?
Right.
Would we?
I don't know, man. Because you said, like, I love the weightlifting portion, like the Olympic lifting.
You do.
And, like, I remember seeing one from 2008, and this dude couldn't even get the thing off the ground, right? And I'm just like, bro. And the commentator was just like, wow, I wonder what he's feeling. He's trained 4 years for this. Bro, you know, the Olympics come around, like you said, every 4 years. So it's like, if you mess up or if you miss a step or fall,
yeah,
bro, you don't get another chance for another 4 years, man.
You know, the interesting thing about that, how he put that, suppose somebody saw the potential in this young man. And because they saw the potential in this young man or young woman, it caused them, with so much belief, it caused them to say, you know what? You just need proper training. And they sacrificed, took off from work or whatever. So now it's like your journey becomes entwined with their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get the ball off the ground.
Man, bro, come on, man. It's like, dude.
I wonder at that moment, what that, like, how does their trainer feel?
Man, you could see it in the guy's face who was lifting. Like, man, he was distraught. Like, man, yeah. And tears.
Exactly.
And tears, man. So it's just like, bro, that's a lot of pressure. On it the flip is. Side, though, I think that when you see somebody that's flawless, like, you know what I'm saying? You talked about basketball, like the LeBron James, the Steph Currys, who just shoot a three-pointer like it's nothing.
Or dunk it, man.
You know what I mean?
39 years old.
Right.
Man, 20 dunks, dude, as a warm-up.
It's crazy because it's like, in your head, man, you like looking like that's magnificent. But to them, it's just another movement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think about bodybuilders, like, they pose it. They spend hours on just posing. You know what I'm saying?
Time out. You call them a poser.
What is it?
No, I'm just saying. No, it's crazy, though. Like, you posing.
Yeah, right. And it's like just hours in the mirror, posing, not even lifting weights, just posing. You know, they spending hours on drills or stretching, strength training. They spending hours on dribbling. They spending, and it's like, bro, those little intricate things lead up to a flawless, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Just those little small, yeah. Like, you think something like posing. You know what I'm saying? You think something about hand movement, just going through the motions, doing this with no ball in your hand.
Combo motions and stuff like that. It's like certain things, you got this part, it's like you try to perfect this part by doing this about 100 times.
Right.
People don't understand. People be in the gym shooting 100 balls.
100 shots.
1,000 shots. Stuff like that's crazy. Right. Now all of a sudden, you shooting, you, coach, my arm hurt. We got to get him up. And now all of a sudden, you don't even, people really don't understand. A ball may not feel heavy until you have to keep shooting it over and over. Now, what you don't understand is training is getting you ready for crunch time. Because now it's those moments in which you practicing, you feel like quitting. The ball ain't got heavy on you. And you like, yo, coach, I can't release it. My release, everything's changing. He telling you, keep shooting. You like, this man going crazy. But really and truly, with each day that passed, the ball start getting a little lighter.
Right.
It start getting a little lighter. And then all of a sudden, it becomes muscle memory. So it's like people don't understand how this one guy might make, you know, a game-winning shot that looks impossible. I love when they be showing, man, like they pull out this, it's scientific. This data that shows the likelihood of you winning at certain points. Like you might be, it could be about point something seconds left on the clock. And then you could be down in basketball by, you know, 2 points. And then all of a sudden a guy get the ball, he dribbling, and you like, you don't need to dribble at all. Then all of a sudden he get himself wedged or sandwiched between two defenders, and then the last heave, he falling out of bounds, throw it up, and then he hit it.
Right.
And you like, boy, look here. He was not supposed to hit that shot. But how many times does people that never pay attention to what happens behind the scenes,
actually
practiced that shot?
Not a thousand times.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's crazy, though, man. It's like how we spoke about before we got on, like mentality, right? And the mental piece. Because it's like if that gym was empty, right? You probably could hit that 1,000 times, flawless. I would say your shooting percentage would probably be like 95, 90%. But you feel that arena with fans. You feel that arena with cameras.
Man.
It's like you know how to do it. You did it 1,000 times in practice. But as soon as the mental piece of knowing, like, I got 10,000 fans looking at me.
I got spectators now.
I got the whole world. Right.
Yeah.
Ain't that crazy, though, man?
Because now you worried about what they thinking. When really and truly, it should be no thinking at all, because this should be routine for you.
Routine, man.
You just, hey, you spending your life, when you think about it, doing something that you love to do. If you made it this far, then honestly, what probably got you to that point is the love for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like that young man, you know, that young man trying to lift that weight. Now, here it is. How many times at practice he got that? That's easy for him.
Easy weight.
They never even had a problem with that before.
Right.
But now, all of a sudden, he go down there and look up.
Can't do nothing, Lord. Man. Slip, everything. And it's like, even that, like just getting in a position.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? That's it's like, it. Bro, it's crazy how the mind works, though, man. Like, I think that mentality piece is true, because I think a lot of things are mental. You know, like whether it be frustrations or like issues we face, like hard times, adversities.
That's it.
I think, man, like those are the pieces where most of the time we panic, but it's like we need to slow it down. You know, and a lot of that happens. I think the best practice is in conflict, because mm-hmm. we conversate every day, whether mm-hmm. that's with the phone, teleprompter, work, coworkers, children, wife. We conversate every day, and we have these micro, you know what I'm saying, little conflicts. I think that's the best practice, I feel like, to help control your mind. It's like mental weightlifting, because it's so easy to panic and just blurt out something negative, you know. But it takes, I think, a mental practice, or I think it takes a more mental energy to say something that's calm, that's less negative, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes plenty of sense, man. You know, one thing that I find to be the most interesting thing, like even watching the Olympics today, it was one young lady from France. She was going off of the, like she was running. And then, you know, I forgot what they call it. Like, it wasn't a beam. I forgot what they call it. But it's like, it's what is it?
What do they do? They jump on it and spin?
They use it to push off of it. Platform or something like that. I can't. I'm y'all look. Right. I don't know.
I ain't in the Olympics.
Exactly.
But nah, but, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So this young lady, I'm watching her and I'm looking at her eyes, like before her routine, like she's prayed twice, you know, saying something, maybe a affirmation to herself. I don't know. But getting herself ready. And the moment she takes off, I'm looking at her, I'm like, this girl is going entirely too fast. I'm talking about you. She looked like she was shot out of a cannon. And she, I'm talking about.
Booking it.
She went from being a gymnast to she was supposed to be in track and field. And she hit it. And when she propelled herself off of the platform and went up in the air, the spin was, it was gorgeous. But that landing, when she came down,
she fell.
Her body was twisted like this here.
Dang.
And I could tell, and my grandma, when she was looking at me, and she was like, after we began to talk about it, my grandma said, nope, that wasn't a good landing. She said, that was bad. So, like, but I, after teaching her, grandma, after teaching my grandmother is like the little, it's so detailed. They look for everything. So it's not just about going in the air. It's about how you come down,
right?
How you land. That's why they call it landing. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, they'll say they landed it, you know. But it's just like that for a lot of those girls, they could not get that landing down pat. And that same young lady, she got a second opportunity. So in my mind, I'm watching her, and already I had already called out. I said, yeah, she was going too fast. The second time she went slower, and you can tell landing was far much better than before. But again, they still, you know,
doctor for those points.
Yeah. But I'm just piggybacking off of what you said. In life, we find a lot of issues when we speed up. You know, adversity, oftentimes it looks like, it can look like conflict, but conflict can simply look like something that's not a natural state for us. It's not a natural order for us. And sometimes that's what begins to speed us up. If it's speeding our mental clock up, or if it's speeding our actions up, and it's just like, now we're going at a pace that we're not accustomed to going to, whether that be us feeling like we have to have a comeback to a line somebody else said. Now it's all of a sudden we trying to get in a shouting contest with somebody that's verbally equipped for that.
Like, oh, bro, that's why they got 1,000 reps in.
Exactly.
They got 1,000 reps in.
A trained, you know what I'm saying? A
verbal assassin.
A trained professional verbal assassin.
So why, I think, all right, I was going to ask, why do you think that is? Which I want you to answer that question. Why I think that is because some of us just want to get out of it. I know for me, I can speak for myself. I just want to get out of that situation as quick as possible. I want
so
the situation
to be over. So you want to say something and try to be out?
Yeah, and think, but that's going to end it.
And that's, and they're going, hey, they hit you with that scope. You get over here. Like, it's not over.
right.
And but see, a lot of times, the worst thing that we could do is engage in their type of game anyways, because, and I'm, you know, don't get me wrong, but just speaking on my behalf, as a man, I've come to realize something. When it comes into an argument with, you know, a lot of women.
Yeah, man.
That's one of them things where you just need to go in and throw in the white flag, you know. Or in that case, getting an argument with anybody for that, because I'm not a good arguer. I just don't. When I get angry, I get, you know, it's again, it doesn't bode well for me. And for a lot of people, for a lot of people, that's just emotional too, because it's like, you got to think about it. When you being ruled by emotion at that point in time, and you feel like verbally you're not able to get out what you need to get out. Oh, and don't be one of those people that cuss all the time, every time about something. And then you going against somebody with the, you know, with the intellectual wherewithal to further break you down, and then tell you, you know what? That's all you got?
Right.
Are you finished? You done? You know? This is why I call you a peasant, right here.
It's
like the slaughter. It's like, man, now they didn't lay you down. They didn't lay you down. Now they go to slicing.
It's one of them fast shots.
You like, how do you learn how to work a knife like that?
Right.
Exactly.
And it's like, man.
It's a massacre. That's
and
what
you
it is.
Immediately know.
You know.
I done messed up.
You definitely know.
You know what I'm saying? Those are the moments where you're like, man,
you definitely know. Especially when, and I've seen this happen too many times with, like, a lot of guys, and, you know, this has been in the past that I've seen this, like in school and stuff like that. When a guy go-to line for a lot of, you know, females back in the day, they'd call him a B-I-T-C-H and think that's going to end
it. Right.
Now, with some, that might have ended that. But some of them,
that amp them up.
Oh,
that's,
man.
And they
be ready for it, too. It's like, man, you see one of them go from,
When
the frown turned into a smile, you're done.
That's
you're
it,
done.
Man.
Because you could tell after that, he is like, it's almost like that was his finishing move. And then he think he get ready to turn around and walk off. And
right.
They pat you on your shoulder. We ain't finished here. You got yours. It's my time now.
That's how it is,
you know.
Man.
And then, like, let them break you down. I'm telling you, it's something different. That's why I tell people, it's power. It's power in the art of being calm.
Yeah, it is.
When you can get handled in a calm manner and somebody address you, sir,
I'd like to talk to you. And then all of a sudden, you ain't got nothing to say. Okay, we can do this your way, or we can do this my way. But one way or the other, it's going to get handled today. And you sitting around and you looking, you know, you must be heard what I said. Mm-hmm. I believe she agree.
Right, but hold on. Let me put her down real quick.
A lot of you said, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier. You said, you know, you said for you, you just want to be out of the situation. But to me, we got to be able to understand, you know, the atmosphere of the situation. First of all, long before you can get out of any place, you need to already be examining where the exit door is at. Mm-hmm. Further of all, and if a house is burning, you just don't start running through a burning house.
Right.
You know, everything has to be done in a calm manner. Even, you know, even being in law enforcement, it's proper procedures to do certain things. And that's the first thing they teach you on. They brief you on that stuff. All right, look, cool. You know, you want to have a cool, calm mind about things, because you're going to have, the thing you can't control is these fools out here, man, and how hostile they're going to choose to be just because they see you with a uniform on. They feel like it's my duty, it's my public service to challenge the badge.
Right.
That's what someone going to do. Mm-hmm. They wake up on challenge the badge, you know, the challenge the badge mode. That's right. What they own.
100%.
And it's like, at that point, it ain't even directed towards you. It's just what you stand for or stand behind.
Yeah, man.
And you the person that's behind that badge, but they coming after that badge. They turn around. It's crazy because people get victimized a lot of time by a couple familiar words. Tell me if you've heard this before. Y'all.
Yeah.
You're like, bro, first of all, my name ain't y'all. Dog, like, bro, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never done that before.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, y'all are saved. That's the first time they don't see color.
Yeah, right, man.
And that's crazy how they go in this world. That's the first. That go to show you, man, the struggle, the true struggle between status, you know, and another struggle that is between race. But what they the one time you can erase race is when you start talking about, man, something that somebody stand behind. Because whether that be work, whether that's something they just strongly believe in, whatever. But they gonna tell you about yourself, but it ain't gonna be about you. It's gonna be about y'all.
Yeah.
But you a representation of y'all, and you gonna sit up here and you gonna get this business because I don't like y'all.
That'd be crazy, man. I think it's like even with that, like I think it's people got. It's just like, bro, we could sit down and agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, we could agree to disagree. And I think like most times we want to go in with the finishing move, like you said, yeah. Like the haymaker.
Yeah.
You ever seen a fight where somebody just going full, like just balls to the wall, just, and you got that calm person just that waiting on that moment.
And the sad part about that, when you come in there, man, throwing all them haymakers, bro, trying to finish them, further of all, they letting you use up all your bullets anyways. It's like, you look at it like, first of all, he ain't hitting nothing. He gonna be tired soon.
Man.
And then the whole
right. Easy.
Yeah. Easy. And it's like, man, you just out of control. You
that's
out of control.
That's really what it is, though, man.
But what you had anything, man, that you wouldn't, you know?
That the whole piece about just that, I think that, like, you know, we have to really pay attention to, like, especially around these, like, it's election time, right? Everybody campaigning, everybody doing this. But it's like, bro, we, like, some people ride so hard, like the assassination joint on Trump, right? Ain't that crazy how, like, just because you don't agree with somebody.
What's your thoughts on that?
To be honest, I don't know, man. You know what I mean? Like, that was a crazy incident. Like, to be that close and miss, and it was like an AR-15, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you said to be that close and miss.
Yeah, like, I'm saying, like, bro, like, I don't know. At first, I thought it was fake, but I don't know, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, the stage.
You know they say stage.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah,
you got a point. Then they got somebody behind him that was recording. You see an old girl? Tell me, man, everybody started ducking. Old girl standing up with the camera there.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, bro, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, bro.
In the face of danger, why you standing right now? Everybody else ducking.
But it's just crazy, man, how, like, those, how politics do that, how, like, they try to pin us against each other. I just think it's like, bro, like, it's so easy to sit down and be like, okay, cool. Why you think like that? That'd be my mindset half the time, most of the time, 90% of the time. Why you think? I want to understand why somebody thinks the way they think. And you may be able to sway me to your position. Or I could hear that and be like, okay, cool. I appreciate you sharing that with me, man. Now I understand why you think like that. I still don't agree. But hey, man, okay, it's cool to know why you think like that instead of me just saying, you wrong, blah, blah, blah. It's a reason why you think like that. It's a reason why you move the way you move, just like me. It's a reason why I eat certain things or the way I position things or organize things or spend my money, whatever. It's a reason for it. And I think, you know, just to just go off with somebody like, oh, you this, you that, you represent whatever it is, Republican, Democrat. Oh, I don't like you. And it's like, it's got to be some common ground on, like, it's good and bad in everybody, right?
Yeah.
So just because you sway to one political side doesn't make you better than the other person. Yeah.
You're still not perfect.
Right.
Even if you make it to being a president, you're still not perfect.
I just don't get that deep into it, bro.
You know, the thing that bothers me the most about this particular season, when you start talking about politics, man, election years, right? It's like, man, to me, it brings out the absolute worst in people. They're going to find your old report cards, whatever.
Right,
it's like, bro, they go through your stuff with a fine comb, too.
Stuff that happened 30 years ago.
Yeah, a fine tooth comb. And it's like, bro, they just sit up there, man, and they look for it. Oh, this going to be juicy here. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's like, bro.
The slander campaigns.
For real, bro, I never seen that happen that fast, man. The moment Kamala, the moment her name was put out there, it's like, man, you already had a message for her. So you just sitting back with rap verses, man. You ready to unleash your everybody at any given time. It's like, bro, it's crazy to me, man. Yeah. Like how this goes and why it's like that. It's just like, instead of why we can't keep it clean. Like, okay, if you trying to be a president or if you trying to be a president, sell us on why you will make the best presidential candidate.
Right.
You know, without bashing them.
I think it turns into why they won't make the best candidate. Let me tell you why they do the wrong person for the job.
That's being a politician because technically you still ain't answering the question.
Right. I know you the best candidate.
Yeah, you're just saying that they not. So it's like now we going by who's, you know what I'm saying?
Who the worst. That's crazy, bro. But really, people believe that. People don't put no forethought into it. They just take like, okay, oh, so-and-so, this, they represent this, they support this, they trying to raise blah, blah, blah. Oh, I hate them. Like, I ain't going for that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, bro, do you even know what your candidate is trying to do? Do you even know, you know what I'm saying?
Do you know their history?
Right, yeah. Man. I just think it's just kind of crazy how deep people get into it. Because I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, bro, I'm not well versed on politics, but it's just like from what I observe, it's like, man, I just don't understand the hate that
comes
behind.
That's what it becomes.
It. You know what I mean? It's like, bro,
and it becomes
it ain't that
something
deep.
That festers past election day. You know, it's crazy.
It's
because
people fighting in parking lots. In parking lots,
I'm getting busy.
Who don't have nothing to do with
man,
nothing?
Look here. Sister that just been in church today. ID man throwing
that's
them
crazy,
things.
Crazy, bro. And it's just
man,
like, bro.
It's like, for me though, I don't get why we'll sit up there and in basketball games, sports, football, whatever. It's like no matter how much the game could go to overtime, whatever, at the end, when the clock strikes zero, a winner has been decided and you just move on from that.
You move on
it's
with
like
your
they
life.
They still gonna play the game, the next, you know, the championship game, whenever.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you still blow your heartbroken still. You still might be talking about it a little bit, but again, eventually, at the end of the season, we know who the champion is. Right. You know? And it's like, over here, it's like, man, it becomes a circus, bro.
Like that's
a
what
complete
I'm feeling like, man.
Circus. And then I ain't gonna lie, we got a bunch of clowns out there. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of clowns. It's like, man, and you got to watch. I learned, man, sometimes people that have too much to say, you can't trust them. Number one, because behind all them words, bro, it's a undertone that you really need to be paying attention to. And it's like, you get lost in the words. Some people
get lost in the words.
Certain people fall asleep, man, while they talking.
Bro.
Hey, you be like, better.
You know what I'm saying? You be running, man. Like that, what it is, I'm gonna get you. No. Don't be a menace in South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. Like that man went off and had a whole rant, right? And his homeboy was back there, like, it almost like, you know, he's sitting up there, man, hyping the man up. Yeah, say. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The man, yeah. I went to jail. Yeah, he did. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That man, then he, the more he went on with his rant, right? And Buddy sitting up there hyping him up and agreeing with everything he said. Buddy said, because I ain't scared to go to. And Buddy said, hold on, wait, what? It's like,
that's how I'm going, man. Yeah,
it's like before you do it, you sitting up there, you backing the every
behind
word.
Everything they say.
And then all of a sudden, that slick undertone that said it, and you like, okay, yeah, you this, that, and other. Yeah, you was down with all this, but what about when that man said this? You ain't said nothing. He ain't said that. Rewind.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, he did say that. You know what I'm saying? You got to be careful. You know, it's like, man, you got to add, even like people that's called to minister. It's like, what I love about great ministers are people that God has called to be in, you know, in whatever area that they represent, right? They'll tell you, don't just take my word for it. Do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's like sometimes when you tell people to go and do their homework, they be willing more to just take your word for it.
Don't want to do the word.
No,
man.
At all.
Bro, that blow me too, though. Damn. Man. They just take anything they see on the news. They just take anything. Man. Headline, first headline, they didn't even read the comment. They didn't even click on the link. So-and-so, blah, 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 just happened. And click it's like, bait. Blah, blah, blah. I saw it on blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
no, did you really see what happened, though?
Did you read into it? Did you even read the article? Did you read it, click on the link and actually study it? I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, you know, getting lost in that game. It just kind of, it's crazy. But I'm just glad, you know, we're aware of that. You know what I mean? But yeah. But yeah, that's how I look at politics, man. I just feel like, you know, I'm not super invested in it. You know what I mean? Because I just feel like, I like to listen to what the person say. One thing I would say I like about Trump is that he didn't fit the mold. Like, I felt like it was so authentic as far as how nonchalant he was. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, you got this polished person. For years, he's been this polished politician. And he came through.
You said politician?
Yeah, like, all the politicians that came in pretty polished.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Some of the past, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Trump came in just, like, not caring. You know what I'm saying? And he just saying what he want, how he want it. And I think that was, for me, it was refreshing to see that. Because it's like, that's the authentic person. No matter who you put in the stage, somebody talk like that. Whoever you like, they talk like that behind the camera. So it's like, it was real. You know what I mean? I feel like how he felt and what he thought and his opinions that he shared, that's how he really felt. And he didn't say it behind the camera. He said it in the camera. And I respected that.
Oh, you want me to?
What? You had, like I said, so crazy.
No. I did that on purpose. No, I wouldn't say that you, my take on it is this here. Like, we discussed this before, and I think exactly how you think to a degree. That is definitely what gave him, that's what allowed Trump to become a forest fire, so to speak, because it's a lot of people in this world that, like you say, they felt certain ways for a long time about different things.
Right.
Some of them, their ancestors, they used to say it out in the open. For others, as time has gone on, they did it behind closed doors. Then comes Trump. And Trump was the voice of a certain folk that had been itching to say certain things.
Right.
Itching to have their voice heard. Itching to change things. Some of the things did become a change for the worse. It was a blast from the past, so to speak. But again, behind every action, there's a reaction. And my thing is this here. Yeah. Trump does represent a certain body of the nation in which, yeah, they're not politicians per se. They don't speak politically correct per se. They have their feelings, which they are entitled to have their feelings. Everybody. But again, you have to be careful with that as well, because without order, you'll have lawlessness.
No, I agree with that. I do agree with that. And I think, like, let me, I guess, clarify. I'm saying, like, I enjoyed
the show.
I enjoyed seeing somebody without a filter. You know what I mean? Now, because it's like football, right? If you never seen what's the dude from the Vikings? Something Rice. The fast running back.
Rice?
Was it Jerry Rice?
No, you talking about, man, Moss.
No, not Moss. He was a running back for the Vikings. Anyway, man, if you never seen like a Michael Vick, all quarterbacks was just basically throwing. And then you seen a quarterback that's juking, that's running, that's hitting touchdowns, that's got more rushing yards. And it's like, whoa. Now, that doesn't mean it has to stay like that, but it was dope to see that, because that's how you felt football should be played.
So you felt like it still had its place in the game.
It still had a place in the game. That's all I'm saying. Now, I definitely don't agree with everything he said or done or anything like that. But on the things that he spoke on and the way he spoke so freely about it on certain things, I enjoyed that, because you never saw that before. And that's how people actually felt.
Let me ask you a question.
You feel me? And it's like, bro, that's real.
And I know what you're saying. Because I knew why he was going to be elected. I said to myself, I said, you know what? Because I was just listening. And that's all it takes is for you to just listen to people around you. And you get a consensus of what's going on and how things can ultimately shake out. But do you think with Trump, some of the things that Trump says, not mm-hmm. everything, but some of the things Trump says, do you think that if it was flipped, if it was a black man, he would be able to get away with, or even some of the things he's done. Do you think that a black man would be able to get away with that stuff?
I think it'd be criticized. Some of the things they say. I think it would be criticized.
Bro, on this one here, you're going to have to dig a little deeper, bro.
I'm saying, like, how Trump is criticized, I think it'd be the same way. He'd get the same scrutiny. Like talking about how he should never be president. It'd be the same thing. Because it's like, people don't want him in office. People don't want to see a black person in office. Just like people don't want to see Trump in office. People don't want to see a black woman in office. So it's like, they're going to fight against making that happen. Whatever they got to dig up, whatever they got to say, they're going to try to do it.
Okay. So interesting. They don't want a black person in office. And here, who's running against Trump, you got Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find absolutely hilarious.
Why is that?
That now people are... And we getting ready to go there. I'm just going ahead. I'm about to clock in now.
Go ahead, man.
So
go
check
ahead.
This out. What I find interesting, history oftentimes repeats itself.
Right.
You just have to pay attention. And sometimes you'll get the answer that you're actually looking for that you didn't even think that you needed the answer to. But it all comes back around. It's all full circle base. So Kamala Harris first stated that she was what?
I saw a thing. It was like when she was running for Senate, mm-hmm. I think it was like Native American or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Call it by the name that they stated or she stated.
I don't remember exactly, Indian. But I think it was Indian.
She was Indian. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. All right. Now, when you hear people are classifying her as what?
First black woman president.
Bingo. Do you not find that kind of strange?
I think it just, like, that's how politics is. It caters to the audience. You know what I'm saying? Whatever angle I could go at that I could draw a winning side, I'm gonna do that. I think that's how politics is.
So my question is this here. Okay. If she classified herself as one thing,
right,
coming in the dough, and now she doesn't correct them for what they're calling her. Right. Which means the moment, okay, that's no different than if you see a wrongdoing, you know, if you see a wrongdoing happening, right? And you don't, to be honest with you, you ain't got no skin in the game. Mm-hmm. But you have an opportunity to say something, but you choose not to say nothing at all or do anything at all, but you see the wrongdoing happening. What does that make you? An accomplice. That means that you're just as guilty as the person that's doing it.
Right.
Because you could have played a role in either protecting this guy at some point. You could have either brought, you know, help his way or her way, whatever. But you chose to turn a blind eye. Walk the other way. You might have prayed too. Some would say, well, that prayer is worth it. You know, since I probably would say that. But again, being a human being.
Right.
You know what I mean? It should come with a little more. Because I think that's what's wrong with our society today. And I'm talking about our society right now. Is the fact that somehow we becoming so desensitive to the point to where we can see wrongdoing happening. We can see somebody else's grandmother out there being abused. Or we can see somebody else's grandmother out there being taken advantage of. And we know what's going on. We see through the game. Whether that be she go to the corner store and this man taking advantage of her at the corner store, he ain't even giving her the right change. You know that he ain't giving her the right change. We say nothing.
That's real. But so like, okay, with that point, with the Kamala Harris thing.
I'm going back to it. What I'm saying about this with her is if she comes out initially and she says, I'm Indian, Native American, whatever she chooses to call herself at that point in time. Right. Then now, fast forward, here it is, you know, we now preparing for the next election. Now all of a sudden, it's a black rush.
Of votes?
No, it's a black rush. What I mean by that is this here. They're looking at her, they're calling her a black one. We have the possibility of the first black woman. This again, throwing that title out there. Now she's not correcting that. Why? Because now she's looking at what she can gain from that.
Right.
That ain't right. You know what I mean? Especially if you, mm-hmm. you, now, this is my thing. If you the person, initially you come in the door and you let somebody, hey, I'm Indian. Right. I'm Native. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't get into it. I'm proud of my heritage, which you have every right to be. But now, you want to benefit off this label here. Unless, hear me out on this, unless she ain't lying.
Right. That's what I was going to say. I was like, maybe she has both of that in her blood. Like if somebody does a genealogy,
I knew you was going to say that.
Is she wrong?
I knew you was going to say that. My friend, I knew you was going to say that. The thing is this. The identity of our people at one point in time, well, a large portion of our people here in this United States, we talked about this before.
Right.
A lot of us are descendants of Turtle Island here in this land formerly known as Turtle Island. That's a lot of us are descendants of that. So really and truly, and we actually became well connected to who we truly are, a lot of us would realize that we are that. We are natives. We are natives to this land. And for her, it's like, it's interesting, man, because now I look at things totally different, man. It's like now they blasting things. They put it right in front of your face. It's like we don't pay attention to nothing now, right. It seems. But it's like, sometimes all you got to do is just go and do your research. Just go backward and then come back forward. And you'll realize you're like, okay, so this is what this story was truly about.
Right.
You know what I mean? And $5 Indians. I told you about that before. Mm-hmm. Okay. You look at this whole picture right here. Am I calling her a $5 Indian? By no means am I calling her that. But those that have garnered notoriety for being so-called Indians, maybe we need to question them a little more. Maybe we need to start going backward and looking at them a little harder. You know, it's like because the copper-colored people were truly, they were natives.
Right.
They were natives.
So you're saying, like, with the race thing, is like, for me, it's like, okay, multiple things pop in my head. First, it's like, is she pushing that agenda to put that out there to really blast that she is the first, she may be the first African-American woman? Or is the headliners and the people that's writing the blogs and stuff putting that in the blogs? You know what I'm saying? It's almost like word of mouth. Like Coca-Cola may have a great product and somebody tasting like, yo, you had this? Yo, Coca-Cola's best, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, Coca-Cola never said it was the best, but you put that in the blog.
Now, that's true. But again, when you start going into politics and you start going into election years and then you start going into, you know, running a campaign, people start thinking about things. Okay, how could we create a strategic edge?
Right.
You know what? Kamala, you might not like this, but you know what? Where the shoe fits, wear it.
I ain't down that either though. I feel like that'll go on. But check, I can't say guarantee, but I feel like that do go on.
But check this out. Also, you get a little bit of this too. I mean, to be honest with you, it was already done one time in history. Let's just redo it again. That's how people look at things. And again, that's what I mean by it's that circular, you know, component. What goes around comes around. And right. Again, it'll work because it's already worked before. So to identify or to appease those, it's funny how this goes, man. Hear me out on this here. So we are known as what? Like our body of people, we are known as what? We are known as what? The minorities. That's what they classify us at. If we are the minorities, why does our thoughts, decisions, our votes weigh so heavy? And why are they so crucial and critical at the most important times in history? Hmm. If we really just the minorities, the minority vote, you always hear about that stuff. But those things, when it comes down to it, those things wind up being game changers.
Right.
But we just a minority.
Excuse me.
Which in reality, when you look at it, minority, I mean, it's just a minority.
Right.
But it's so critical, bro. Like, when I start thinking about it, like, am I the only one that thinks this way? Like, you don't.
No, I feel you. Like, I feel you. Because they do, like, black voters and this, and what is the black vote going to be?
Blah, blah, blah. How they sit up there, but the black vote. That right. mug sound powerful. They make it sound powerful.
Right, right.
Way more powerful than we looking at it.
Right.
A lot of us, I'm not even voting. Right, you know what I'm saying? That's right. How we look at it. Yeah. But it's like, they stress it.
But do you think it's just like they trying to get every little piece? Like, okay, cool. Let me make sure I got the Hispanic vote. And let me make sure I got a black vote. Let me make sure I got a white vote. This and that. Like, do you think they just trying to get every, squeeze every vote they can out of it? Like, that's why they targeting it like that?
So, this is just, again, now what I'm about to say, this is my opinion.
Right.
It's simply my opinion. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But somehow it's just like, as I continue to get older and I just watch how this thing, you know, I watch how this operates. It's something that we don't know. Most of us don't know. It's something that they do know. From a point of view, first of all, think about this here. How easy is it to get all of that stuff taken from you?
What, your
being vote? Being a so-called black person, how easy is it for you to get all that script from you, first of all?
Oh, yeah. Once you get a felony, that's it.
Exactly. So it's too easy to get a script from you. Mm-hmm. But even though we could be the one race that a large portion of our people are incarcerated. So that means a large portion of us, we lose their right. But still, and yet they push the black vote. So if it's so-called stated that we're the minority, it's not a lot of us in comparison to so-called Caucasian people, then again, if we already outnumbered by that standpoint, and then you look over here and a lot of us are getting incarcerated, getting our rights taken, why is the black vote so important if we already behind? If the appearance already seems like we are at a disadvantage already in numbers.
Right.
Why is it important?
I think it's just a vote. Like, it's just extra votes, extra numbers. It's just going to add up to a bigger number.
But I want you to think about what I'm saying, bro. What I'm saying is this here. It's okay, you saying it's just an extra vote.
Mm-hmm.
Please hear me on this. Okay, let's just look at it like this. It's just an extra vote. Then that would mean that really and truly, it's almost like if we already at a disadvantage and we already behind, then why even vote in the first place if we are the minority truly?
Right. But it's not a small number though. Minority, I don't think that's a super small. It's millions.
But
millions of votes.
Okay, I hear you. But okay, let's just say that. Millions of minority votes, which can include Hispanic people, our people, whatever, right?
Right, right.
Okay, now let's still look at the Caucasian folk. And whoever makes up that, the majority, as they call it.
Right.
They call it the majority versus the minority. So what that mean?
They are numbers.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I don't know, man. That's a good question. That's what I'm saying, just the stuff that make you think though.
Right?
Nah, you're right.
You ain't never thought about it like this before. The way you put it like that, yeah.
I definitely understand that. That is true. I still think it just go back to like an extra number, like an extra extra number. And whatever candidate is office, they're gonna cater to what they can cater to get it.
I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. The more I think about this and as we talk about it, man, we pawns, dog. We pawns, bro.
Oh yeah, like I said, that's why I'm not really into politics like that.
And
I pay attention to what affects me.
And
you know what I'm saying? That's it.
But you know the crazy thing about it? We not the only ones. Like, we all on this board being controlled to a point.
Right.
And we not even paying attention to it because here it is, bro. The board is showing you to be black and white, so to speak. Black and white. And you make moves, they make counter moves.
They based off of who... Like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's what we're talking about.
And no matter what side, whether you decide to be an elephant or a jack behind, whatever, it's like you still splitting that up between two entities anyway. So now you got people division. It furthers the agenda of division.
That's why I said that earlier, man. Like, bro, it don't matter. Like, if I could relate, we may not agree, man. But it's just like, we get so deep into these politics, bro.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's like, dude, you could be whatever, bro. If we agree on this, okay, I need this table moved. Can you help me move this table? I don't care
Facts.
What you like. You may hate chicken. You may hate turkey. I don't care.
Let's just make positive movement.
Bruh.
But then check this out. Then you got an independent out there that might appeal on the ballot. Everybody look at him like he the villain.
That's wild.
That brother that sister don't get no love heart.
Let me ask you this, bro. I promise you, anybody who is seriously injured on the street, you not going to be like, hold on before you help me. You vote Democrat or Republican? Bro, that's not, it don't matter, bro. It matters because, you know, what affects you, man. Like, that's how I'm going to put it. What affects you, and you worry know, about that.
You know what,
but
man.
Anything else, bro, we all, it's the human race,
you know what?
Bro. Like,
you know what, bro?
It ain't that deep.
You say, hey, it's somebody in this world that would do that. As big as this world is, somebody in this world would
deep,
do that.
Bro,
you know, man, I was at work the other day, and I was helping this woman. Well, I was helping. It was a crowd of people. I was helping, and among this crowd of people, it was a Caucasian woman. Her family, her husband got out of the vehicle, in the curb. I was looking at that step down, and I was like, you know, that kind of made me kind of iffy. So I was sitting up there telling, hey, you know, watch your step, be careful. So this particular Caucasian woman, you know, I don't know, before I thought about it, I offered my hand to help her, to, you know, assist her off of that onto the ground. Brother, funniest thing happened, right? She took, and it's like, it's crazy. This, I cannot make this stuff up. She took, and just her reaction was to almost hand me her hand. Then she looked ahead and she pulled her hand back and stepped down. So two things went through my mind. What you think went through my mind first? You know me. What you think went through my mind?
She didn't want to touch your hand?
Well, that was clear.
Right.
That was clear. That much was clear. But what you think went through my mind? Folks, I just love putting them on blast.
I don't know.
Now, that one there was a political answer.
I don't know.
You ain't about to get me. I don't know.
Next question.
Let's cut the check. Now, honestly, the first thought went through my head was this here. When I put my hand to help her,
right,
and it was just out of it. I don't care, man. If it's somebody.
Who is this black man trying to help me? Oh, you're a random black person. Oh, okay, got you. Was just a pedestrian.
No. I was working. I wasn't random.
Gotcha.
But check this out. That thought went through my head. That wasn't the first. The first thought was, because that was creeping in my head first, but I was trying right. to evaluate the whole situation. I was like, huh. Then I thought about it, replayed in my head. I said, well, technically, her husband got off first.
Mm-hmm.
So she was, you know,
she might have
thought. So she, you know, oh, I can't let my husband see me touching this black man hand or touching this other man hand. Right, and then he raped it. But again, what I'm thinking, like, her husband should have turned around and helped her off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But again, I don't know, man. It's just, it's weird, man. It's just weird.
Though, man, especially a dynamic like that.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, granted, like, my wife, if she was in that situation, would she?
Bro,
you know,
ain't that crazy how race do that, man?
Yeah.
Like, if I walk into a room, I'm automatically looking for other people that look like me. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
exactly.
It's like, oh, man, I'm the only brother in here, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, it's crazy how race does bro.
Hey, you in a pressure cooker then.
Right, man.
Suppose you're a comedian. You on stage and you come out on the stage and it's all Caucasian people.
That's crazy though, bro. Like, man, dude. Like,
so do you set them up with a joke just to go ahead and just kind of like test out the crowd?
Right, you got to.
It's like you can't avoid this. I'm here now. They here.
White rooms versus black rooms is totally different comedy.
I would think
it's totally different comedy.
But what if you test them out by your go to black, your so called black joke? You test them out and they laugh hysterically. Now what?
Oh, man.
Are they laughing at you or laughing at the culture?
That is crazy though, man. Like, it's like, I don't know, man. Why is it so like so prevalent like that, man?
Man,
you know
it's
what I mean?
Dicey.
Right.
Real
it get dicey like
yeah.
that, bro. Cause it's like, okay, it could turn either way.
Yeah.
It could get real crazy
like,
real
man,
quick, man.
So now you didn't figure it out. Okay, so they down. So you starting to crack more black joke. And you notice as you going in on your own folk, they laughing harder.
Right. You got a heckler
so
in the crowd.
Yeah.
Might say something crazy.
So shit, are they laughing at my people? And now at this point, it's like, man, I'm selling out on my people by even telling y'all this.
It's a crazy dynamic, man.
Man, look here. Before we conclude, man, I'm going to say this here. You know, I don't know, you probably, I think this got some age on it now. It's dated. But you know, Hillary Clinton, she was talking to Charlamagne and them, and they began to talk about something. And then, you know, what her response was, you know, I think Charlamagne was like, what he said? He said something. See if you can find that clip. I ain't even trying to paraphrase this.
But I do think it's like, race can get real crazy, man, because it's like, I don't understand it. It's like, okay, cool. We could all laugh at a black joke, right? Because it's funny and we all know it's true, but then it could get personal, like too personal. It could get too racial, if that makes sense.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Like, what if I say...
But see, what's too racial?
That's what I'm saying. Like, we might laugh at a joke about, I don't know, man. What's a black joke we could laugh about, man?
A mama joke?
Your black mama joke, right? And we all like, oh, yeah, that's true. And white, black, Hispanic, whoever could laugh at an Asian.
Yeah.
But then it could be like a super racial joke to where it's like offensive. You know what I mean? I don't know, man.
Now, if they laugh, are they laughing at, you know, because it's like now, it's crazy how we've taken and we are able to flip harm that's been dealt to us. How we able to take and flip hurt. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We can flip hurt into laughter. You know what I'm saying? So now you laughing at my pain. Laugh at my pain. That's what we doing. And it's like, it's. I guess this is the closest thing that I can try to understand about people talking about the word, the N word is a title of endearment. But it's like certain things, man, it's like you ain't been in that, you know, like on some real, you ain't came up in the mud with me. You know what I'm saying? You don't understand what it's like to even be down in that slop. What I'm talking about, I'm talking about historically.
Right.
Like when we were at our lowest and we did things in which we had to do because we had no other choice but to do it. And it's like we just grew from that. You know what I'm saying? From that, we were given like the worst types of food, man. And we learned to make dinners out of that. You know what I'm saying? Dinners that oftentimes we became the authors of soul food. It's like, you know what I'm saying? We made that type of food actually make sense, so to speak. Now you come back and take it and try to snatch it, steal it, flip it. And then, you know what I mean? Tell me this a delicacy. You know what I mean? So it's like, when you think about stuff like that, nah, that ain't no delicacy. That was a meal. You know what I'm saying? So when I start thinking about that stuff, the hurt and the pain we've gone through and we've experienced, it's like, for you to tell certain jokes that highlight that the pain, the hurt, all that, you know, have been historical, and we learn how to thrive and drive despite.
Right.
And you, everybody in the audience there, I'm talking about, man, going in laughing hysterically at our, so it's like.
Hold on, what you mean? Like this was actually happening?
No. I'm still talking about what we were talking about earlier, where like if you a black comedian in an all white, you know what I'm saying? That's like, you know, you performing in front of, you know, an all white sellout crowd. But it's like, again, you testing it and you say a black joke and they bust out laughing. It's like, how do you feel?
Right.
Do you, how would you handle
that? I hope you don't say nothing that's like, that's too crazy in front of like another culture like that. Like, I would hope that you wouldn't say nothing that's like, for instance, I don't know what situation that's happening in, but like, for instance, I'm trying to think of somebody who does it well. You know what I mean? Kevin Hart, I would say, does it well. Steve Harvey does it well. Like the main comics that you know of, right? But I don't think it's never like you wouldn't go in going something that is not culturally relatable. You wouldn't say nothing that's not culturally relatable.
So, but check this out. If you know about most comedians, they already pretty much got their routine. You know, in a lot of cases, it's already stripped it. They already know what they coming with. But let's just say they arrive and this one here caught them by surprise with like the, and I'm like, let's just be real, you know, being real. The realistic element is you're never going to go being a certain comedian and it's going to be all white anyways.
Right.
Especially if you are, you know, that's never going to happen. But let's just say it's way more than what you thought. And you like, oh snap. You know what I'm saying? But let me test the water tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so you just say one of your jokes that, and they bust out, they laughing loud on this side, then most of your people on this side, and by them laughing louder, now your folk, they don't even want to laugh because they looking at this side.
You wild.
Am I lying? Tell me that wouldn't happen though. Tell me that ain't. Hey, we all gonna enjoy a laugh to a degree, but you know what I'm saying?
Nah,
all of a sudden, you know, let's just say you in the gym, bro, you mess around and you say something and you really getting it, like you going in on your homeboy, but you didn't mess around and call him out his name, and you start noticing like somebody else in
somebody
the gym.
Somebody in the back just dying laughing.
Dying laughing.
White dude in the back.
Exactly. Laughing louder than everybody else.
Like, dang, bro. That's crazy. Like, dang.
Hey, now everybody start laughing. They looking at him.
That's hilarious, man.
Like, bro, it ain't that funny.
y'all can proceed. You know what I'm saying? But now, did you get a chance to find him?
No more questions? They said, no, she has to go.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen, I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. Who said, is it working?
Hillary Clinton.
All right.
I mean, but I feel like that come with it. For me, I'm like, man, that's a given. I feel like that happens. That's a given, man.
Let's go back and replay that clip one more time, please.
About what is it that you're trying to see?
Just from the beginning, you tell me how this thing started out.
No more questions? They said, no, she has to go.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen, I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. behind jokes often lies the truth.
Yeah. Of course.
And the tail end.
Yeah.
That brother set up. He said, all right, now, a lot of black people going to think that you're pandering to black folk. Pause.
Right.
Is it working?
Right.
First of all, what's one thing that you carry with you at all times?
Me?
No. Oh. I'm repeating now, you know, what was asked to her. And she come out of her mouth and say, hey, she ain't said lipstick. She ain't said lotion. I would have rather, you know what I'm saying?
But so she is too blatant. Hot sauce. I mean, bro, you got to think, man. Like,
oh, no,
these
please.
People is professional, like.
Trained.
Like competitors, bro. Like, of course you're gonna go for your. To me, that's a given. Like, of
go
course
for your what?
I'm gonna get on a
graphic.
Yeah, like I'm gonna go on a. If I know I'm going on the Breakfast Club. If I'm going on what's another black? Like,
I ain't gonna lie.
BT. Like, I'm gonna
see real.
If
talk,
I'm in that mindset, I'm gonna say something.
Real talk. If you in that mindset, I don't wanna have nothing to do with you.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not authentic. It's not authentic.
Exactly. That's how you lose votes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I expect that from a politician.
That's phony.
Yeah, I expect that from a politician.
Extra phony.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know what I'm saying? Oh, and then he had trying to help out, trying to help her bury herself, telling her something. Oh, you trying to get information right now? I would have loved to hear that answer, but he moved too quick from that. You know where that came from. That's B.
Right.
So now, you know what I'm saying?
Are you surprised by the answer, though?
I should have never heard that answer. That's what I'm on. Are you surprised by it?
No, bro, because it's like, dude, you got to think these people are trying to win the
to
top
you, bro.
Seat, bro.
To like, me, winning the top seat, first and foremost, again, man, if you're going after a leadership role, the leadership role of America, right. So to speak, first of all, it's got to be based off of trust. Mm-hmm. You come up there and say that mess right there.
Is that not real though?
No, that ain't
why are
real.
You mad that she being
no,
honest?
No, first of all,
why are you mad that she being
okay,
honest?
Okay, check this out.
That's what I don't like about it. It's like it's swayed. They done made you believe that.
No, they ain't made me believe.
No,
nothing.
I'm saying.
Oh,
I'm
about to
I'm
say.
I'm saying America. Period. It's like Trump gets hate for being real, but they get love for being fake.
No, but see, that's
it's like that don't make sense.
No, see, that's the thing about Trump. I respect that fact, that element that brother gonna go up there and, hey, he might decide all real, I'm gonna act a clown tonight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hey, that man might tell you, look, man,
I'm not saying it's right. I don't think it's right.
Exactly. But what I'm saying, I can't help but respect that.
Right.
That's just being real.
Right.
Hey, you go in a war with somebody, even if it's an enemy, I'd rather that enemy tell me off rip. Look, bro, I'm going to tell you right now.
You
getting ready to go? Hey, nah, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to come and I'm going to help you simply because both of us, we don't like this joke over here. But the minute that we get rid of him, you better watch your back. I'm good with that.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
well
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, I figured.
Now you got Judas over here. You know what I'm saying? I'm done with it, man.
That's hilarious.
It,
but yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, we're on the same
you know
page with that,
but,
man.
But this one here.
That was funny.
This one talking like that. She could be in the A-town talking like that, and then she mess around and go to Missouri, and then
I'm gonna play another one, man.
Okay,
and I want to see how you feel about this.
You asking me what's my my thought on what?
I just feel like, I don't know, man.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm looking at the motions.
It's I'm looking at it. But I just feel like it's kind of.
I ain't gonna run to you. It look like, hey, I ain't gonna lie to you. Is she sexy with it? Nah. Do she look like somebody auntie? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like.
When you say it like that, though, it fit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hey, it's like she ain't doing too much.
Right.
She just got a little two-step with it. But you really could tell low key, if they switch that over to like a more high pace, they gonna lose her. Right. Like she really ain't got no rhythm.
But I feel like that's the same thing that Hillary did. If I'm a black voter, I'm gonna be a little extra black.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, but I ain't gonna front. Even if she claiming to be an Indian, I'm looking at that right there, man. And I say, you know what though? I can see an Indian behind closed doors, you know what I'm saying, getting with it. You know what I'm saying? If that's they jam, that's they jam. You know what I'm saying?
You hilarious. For instance, I was working at Home Depot, man. I never forget this, right? Working at Home Depot, I had this white supervisor. Like, he was like the head top dude for the district. Something big. He had a big title. So, like, he had a meeting with all, and most of the warehouse workers were black. So, he had a meeting with all of us in the morning. So, he gave us a little speech about all the safety issues he was seeing wrong and blah, 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 this and that. And then he referenced a Tupac lyric about, like, all coming together or something in the middle of the speech, like, to kind of, like, end it off. But it hit right, bro. But it was just like, it was one of those things where the delivery was on point. Everybody was like, oh, shoot. Like, yo. It was like.
With that being said, then that means, when something's organic, it feels organic.
Right.
But it did feel organic. That bell was on time, too. When it feels organic, it's like that was on time.
You know what I'm saying? That's funny.
Little mama need a raise. But nah, it's like. Yeah, when something's organic, man, it feel organic. You can tell if something is false. You can tell that, man. It becomes cringy. I wouldn't say that, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody in the background. You know what I'm saying? But it's like that right there, like in a situation in what you're talking about, and you said you were right there, you was listening, and you were like, it hit right.
Yeah,
you know
yeah
what
I'm it saying? Did hit right.
It's like, man, he ain't did too much. It's like he did what he was supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? You pretty much telling me, man, he connected with us well.
Right. You know that's what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. Okay, like, you do it in a way that is authentic. Like, if it ain't authentic, don't do it. Like, the pandering thing. Like, I don't think it's called pandering when you do that. It becomes pandering when you do it like Hillary did.
Man, Hillary was dead wrong.
You do it, that become pandering, right? I don't know.
Well, man. Is it working?
It just get on. That's why I say, man, I don't get deep in these politics.
And
bro.
Then the term I just even like, ask if it's working. I'm talking that's bold within itself. at that moment, and we all at this table, and Hillary sitting right there, and she says,
that's when you hear that awkward laugh.
I'm not even laughing. Real talk, I might give her the side.
Wow, bro.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to look at you, hey, bro, you brother wild. To brother. I'm going to do this one. I'm going to do one of these.
You wild for that, man. That's funny, though.
I might be done with the show. You might have to take over from now. Like, hey, I'm still.
that's hilarious, real. Bro. So, like, okay, one more question, right? And maybe we can end it, though, because I'm burning up over here. So,
I'm kind of hot, too.
Yeah. So, like, okay, is it less acceptable when a white person panders to black people or a black person panders to white people
it's the same to me. Like, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it, man. First of all, to me, that's no different than you see a brother or sister out there trying too hard to be.
Right. Carlton. You feel me?
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, bruh, like... Somebody get him off the stage right now. He embarrassing us all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, yeah, man, it doesn't matter to me which way. Now, if you see somebody, you know, either way, you see somebody talking to, you know what I'm saying, talking to somebody on the side or talking to a group of people to the side and, you know what I'm saying, and they, you know, all that, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna look a little bit to see if it's safe, what I'm watching, if it's safe or unsafe behavior.
all right, bro, look like he true to it.
Right, right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? And I'm, you know what I'm saying? Hey, then you go back to, you know, you hit it. But you know what I'm saying? You look. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is.
Yeah, it is.
But nah, man, it's like, boy, if you see one, you know, a brother come up there, man, a collar shirt, man, you know what I'm saying? Shorts come right about here. Man, got on some Bucks, you know what I'm saying? No socks. Kneecaps white, you know what I mean?
Kneecaps white, wow.
For real. You like.
That is.
But then he turned around and come to you. My brother, what's up? Nah, this ain't it, bro.
He don't even say brother. He say brother.
No. He come to you. No, I'm just saying, if that same brother that look like that come up to you and come to find out he know one of us from way back when, and then he, my boy, what's up? Yeah. And then he turn around and flip. He go over there. Hey, Jimmy, how you? You know what I'm saying? Nah, he's a throwaway.
I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, you
I
good said, with that?
No, I'm saying, oh, okay. Like, bro, because it's like, it's I don't know. That's what I'm saying. The whole race thing, it get crazy because it's like,
I was just talking about a brother not dressed like that.
That's what I'm saying. Even and with that, and then like, he's like, it ain't culture. Like, for me, I wouldn't dap up a white person or an Asian person.
No, I'm talking about when he come and he dapping us up.
Right.
1 minute, then he flipped out and went over there. Hey, my boy, how you doing?
The whole voice change and everything. Changed. Yeah, I feel you on that.
You like, man,
you a square, man.
Yeah, you a throwaway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Keep the voice the same. I ain't saying you got to keep, like, go straight. Hood, man, but it's just like, bro, if you talk regular to everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, he got a little deep on him. My boy, what's up?
Right.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, whole swag switch up, man.
No, that man is a light switch, man.
All right, man, we got to wrap it up, bro. Real Talk Podcast, anything we said that you like, please like, comment, share. Every Thursday we post a new episode. This is the Real Talk Podcast, Real Talk 101. Peace.
Real Talk.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or if you want to check out more of our content, please visit our social media platforms linked in the description of this episode. You can also check us out each week where we drop a new episode every single Thursday. So don't forget, like, share, comment, and thanks again for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.